Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna DeHart, and I am so excited that you decided to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
I'm just going to pray real quick. Father, help. Holy Spirit, help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tomorrow, by the way, is the Passover. Passover is going to be from tomorrow through the 30th. And I did want to just make a brief, comment about that. Very important. I would encourage you tomorrow to stop what you're doing, to take communion with your family. Take communion, honor the blood. The Passover commemorates the day that the death angel passed over Egypt, and the death angel was going to take out all the firstborn of Egypt, and the Lord said to Moses, what I want you to do is I want you to take and I want you to sacrifice, have everyone sacrifice a spotless lamb, and I don't want it to be dismembered. I want it to be cooked whole with its head and its legs, no broken bones, complete. And then I want you to take the blood and dip it in hyssop, take hyssop and dip it in the blood. And then I want you to strike the lintel, which is the doorpost. Think of that cross as a doorpost, if you would just put a big rectangle around it. And I want you to hit it at the top, and then I want you to hit it on the sides. And if you look at that prophetically, that's a symbol of Jesus. He died on the cross whole, with no broken bones. You know, the thieves, they broke their legs, but they left Jesus completely whole. Yeah? All his insides were there. They pierced his side. But if you look at that picture on the doorpost, you would see blood running down the middle of the pole and dripping off the sides. That was a prophetic picture of what Jesus would one day do as the spotless lamb who would take away the sins of the world. And the Lord said, the angel of the Lord said, when I see the blood over the doorpost of that house, I will pass over. That's where we get the word Passover. And everyone inside that household will be safe because of the blood. That's why it's so important to plead the blood over your home. To plead that blood covering over your home. And there was a graphic I saw a few years ago, and I used it, but it said, when the death angel passed over, he saw the blood and he couldn't touch anybody inside the house. And when the angel of the Lord passed over, he saw only the blood. He didn't see the mistakes and the flaws of everyone inside that house. He wasn't looking for the perfection of every member of that household. He was looking for the perfection of the Lamb. That's the good news of the gospel. Because we all have flaws. We all have made mistakes. Amen? And because of the blood of Jesus and our faith in Christ, now when the demonic looks at our life and, you know, it sees that the blood, he can accuse, he can stand on the outside and go, you're all a bunch of whatever in there. But the Lord says, no, it doesn't matter what they've done. It really matters what I've done. And I've covered them by the blood. So you got to learn. The accuser's going to stand at your door and yell all kinds of judgments against you. Because that's what he is the accuser. But the Lord, when he looks at our life, he says, no. I say they're perfect. I say they're saved. I say they're redeemed. I say they're my righteousness in me. Amen? I say they're holy. I say they're accepted. I say they're members of my household. So beat it. Get out of here. Amen? You got to know when you're inside of Christ and you're inside his household, hallelujah. What a great seamless way to get right on into this message. You are, in heaven's eyes, you're flawless. Amen? So I want you to say that. I'm flawless. Because of the blood, obviously. Amen. Thank you. Come on, we give God praise for that. Thank you for the blood. So take communion tomorrow. Get yourself some juice, or if you don't have it, just take water and ask the Lord to turn it into wine. And get some bread and do that. You know, there was two times in Jesus' life that he came to celebrate Passover. Number one was when he came to cleanse the temple. Remember when he came into Jerusalem and found his house turned into a den of thieves and they were a marketplace, and he took the whip out and cleansed his temple. He was there to celebrate Passover, and then the last time was right before he died at the Last Supper, and that was just the night before he was crucified. He spent the evening with the disciples, and he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my body." He held up the bread that is broken for you. And so Jesus was there to celebrate Passover, and, you know, I want you to, we may not be born of Jewish descent, but you've been grafted in. Yeah. Amen? And we're all one in Christ. And so I want to encourage you, we did not do that today, and I didn't have a typical Passover message, but I did want to say that because we honor that. So last week, I started this series under the direction of the Holy Spirit called This Is Us. And I talked about the importance of having people in your life, and I'm going to drive this home in the next week or two, of having people in your life that are really there for you. And I ended last week's message with a very poignant story of a group of Navy SEALs, and particularly one man named Mark and a man named Bryce, who were trying to complete this very difficult course to become Navy SEALs. I encourage you to go back and listen to the story because it's deeply moving. And the story really is the focal point is on these two, Mark and Bryce. And Mark finished the course. And like many others, he finished the course. They were the top of the top, the best of the best. But the others went on. They just went on back to their group. But Mark stayed behind on the shore. And he was watching for those that were coming up behind him. And Bryce, in particular, had done everything he could possibly do, and his body was shutting down. And I asked the question, have you ever been there where you've given everything, you left it all on the track, you feel like you're at the end of your rope, mentally, emotionally, physically, and you know that there's something you're working toward, and you hit that place where inside you're doing everything you possibly can, and you just hit that limit. And you start to recognize that you're at your limit. And what happened was Bryce looked up at that moment when he was about to sink and miss out on everything he had worked so hard for. And he sees Mark standing on the shoreline. And Mark doesn't say anything. He just looks at him and he makes a gesture. He gives him that fist pump, like you can do it. And I want to talk about the power of the invisible today, this invisible power that's called connection. Yeah? That fist pump, what it did was it lifted Bryce past his physical and mental limits. All of a sudden, his body kicked into another gear, and he was able to get on top of the water. It was almost like autopilot. His arms found strength. His legs found new strength that they didn't have before. And God created us to be in connection with people that are for us. This divine connection that we have, it's sometimes immaterial. It's invisible. It's an emotional connection. It's a true spiritual connection that we can have that will eventually be measurable. It becomes material. It has a physical effect on us, and it fuels us when we don't feel like we have anything else. I talked about how many times I have come in where I felt like I was at that threshold. And I highlighted you last week, Ms. Nell, because I've seen so much of the stuff you've gone through with your physical health. And, you know, I look at you, Dawn, and I know just so many things that you have gone through with your physical health. There have been times, for me, it wasn't necessarily physical, but it was emotional. right? To be hit again and again and again and again, and then to go through a deep, dark night of the soul with grief and all of that. It's very hard to still show up for your post and keep going. But one day you look out and you see somebody that says, I'm so glad you fought. I can see you're hurting. But I'm not going to turn around and go off. I'm going to show up and look you in the eye, Pastor, and say, you got this, girl. It might not have been your best message that day, but you got this. You know, there's times in your life when you need to look at those that are fledgling around you, and you need to stay. You need to show up. And I call it the power of showing up, because it does affect us. Britt, I'm so thankful, you know, and we look at you and we love you and we're so for you. No matter what any of you are going through in this house, I want you to know when you get here and you look around, so many times the enemy wants to pull you out into isolation, but you get here and all of a sudden the people that know you, sometimes we don't want to be known in our vulnerability, but we need to be known. We need somebody that says, I miss you. I love you. I'm so glad you showed up today. How can I pray for you? Amen? So number one, it's a fact that the invisible has a real effect on the visible, and vice versa. Scientists and theologians and philosophers for years, spiritual thinkers, have pondered and struggled with something called the mind-body connection. How that just somebody praying for you and inaudibly hearing their words, right? You can hear the words, but you can't see the words. But all of a sudden, those words where you had hit a limitation pull you out of that place and beyond what you were capable of. Because we are spirit. We were created to hear each other's words. We were created to see each other's faces. We were created to be in connection. So 1A, the invisible attributes of relationship, the connection between people, have real, tangible, and measurable power. And it begins at birth. This is 1B. It's a fact that if you feed babies but deprive them of meaningful relational connections, an attachment or bond, they will not grow as they should. This happens just from missing a relational connection. Perfectly healthy baby, born with all their parts, everything they need to function and to be great in life. But if you pull your face away from them, if you pull your presence away from them, if you deprive them of those smiles, those looks, those words, that bond, they will not develop. This is 1C, they will have lower body weights. You can be feeding them, but not holding them when you're feeding them. They've done this, you know, I mean, just horrible to think that somebody would do this. But in orphanages, you know, babies, they'll just stick a bottle and pop a pillow up on them and stick it in their mouth. And those little babies have to fend for themselves and try to find that bottle themselves. And they aren't held during that act of feeding. And these babies, even though they're being fed, they will experience more illness. In extreme situations, they can develop a syndrome called failure to thrive. It is a term that means exactly that. They are hitting a false limit. They are not thriving to their full potential physically, mentally, and spiritually. Why? Because of a lack of attachment. And when you think about how we are the body of Christ, and the Lord is looking at us to thrive, His word is full of, you will flourish like a palm tree in Lebanon. Your leaves will always be green. You will flourish, you will flourish, you will flourish. But we were never meant to be isolated and away from the meaningful connections that the body of Christ is supposed to give one another. Amen? You see churches that have failure to thrive. Why? Because the enemy gets in and he drives wedges between relationships. And now all of a sudden, you can be in the same room, but you're not looking at each other anymore. You can be in the same room and you're not talking to each other anymore. You can be in the same room, but the meaningful words that are supposed to be coming from our hearts to one another are no longer there. This is what happens with babies. They can be in the room with other babies. They can be in the room with caregivers that come in and pop a bottle in their mouth and just, you know, to keep them alive. But these same children will not thrive at the same level as ones that get less food but are held and rocked and talked to and connected with. Amen? This is the truth. What happens with these children in point 1D is the damage from a lack of connection goes even deeper. It's not just what we can see on the outside. If you were to look at their brains on the brain scans, as many researchers have done, you will see, literally, you will see black holes, spaces where the neurons did not form, where neurological systems did not grow. The physical hardwiring of their brains is incomplete. That's powerful. When we do not have meaningful connections, and I don't mean to be funny, we are literally experiencing brain damage. Let that sit on you. I don't want that to be funny. We are experiencing more mental illness than any generation that's ever lived. And it's happening to children. The rapid growth of mental illness in this generation is amongst the 3 to 15-year-olds. You know why? Because many people got busy working, and now what we do is we stick a smartphone or a device in their hand as a substitute for FaceTime. And we have this thing called Face with parents at tables who have conversations over dinner, who sit on the floor and actually play with them. It was very sad. I walk into a room with a bunch of kids, and I'm not against it. It once in a while for them to have their little pad. But it's sad when I see a bunch of 5 to 7-year-olds and no one's talking and they're all on a pad. None of them are talking. You know what we did? Nikki, I know what we did. We played in the street. Christina went and got Duraflame logs and tried to start fires in the front yard with all the kids. You know, but at least they were like talking, and the kids all played, and they made up games, and you know, it was like the kids were using their imagination. It wasn't like everything was imagined for them, handed to them, and they're being, you know, socially groomed, and they're being all of these things groomed for the way relationships are. And today, if you take those things away from them and actually require them to sit and look you in the eye, many of kids can't even look you in the eye. They're having a hysterical fit because, you know, that they want to go back to that false relationship. It's not a real relationship. And now they want us to have relationships with AI, like artificial intelligence, and not even real people. And the church, I mean, the enemy did a number on the gathering thing of the church during COVID. You know, social distance, don't get near each other. You're going to get, you know, you're going to die. And I realize that some people did, and I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of that. But, you know, it's like it's lasted way longer than it should have. And people have stayed out and they've disconnected, and it just, you know, whether it's laziness or whatever, fear of socially being together, God is saying, I'm calling my family back together. I don't know about you, but I don't like my family all dispersed. I get really upset when I call the family together and one can't make it. I'm not mad at them, but I want my family together. And that's what the Lord wants. And these kids, I'm going back to this really quickly. The kids today, they are trying to meet the demands of reality, which is that we live in a more high-pressured system. And I know, Gardenia, you deal with a lot of these children. They're trying to meet the demands of reality without the circuitry needed to do so. And what happens is they're becoming more depressed. They're becoming, you know, more suicidal. They live with a feeling of pressure constantly. And where do I get the resources? And we go, well, I can't talk to you right now, so read this, do this. Where I would sit with my dad, and my dad would say, let's figure this out together. Let's talk about that. Social interaction within families is seriously lacking. There's a lack of human connection. And I pray to God that's not happening in your family, but I don't want to see it happening in the church. Amen? And I love the way this family is. We all know each other, but as we continue to grow, I need everyone in this family to make sure that it is your business. It is your assignment to go talk to people, get to know them. You know, there's people that come into these mega churches today, and the anonymity of it, they can be anonymous. They can walk in and experience this big worship experience and walk out, and no one knows their name. No one knows where they came from. No one knows what they're going through. No one knows what they're going to. Yeah? And that's, we got to do better. Check on each other. Like, find out who they are. If they're sitting next to you and they're new, don't ever let them get out of the building without asking them, you know, their name and welcoming them and letting them know, you know, we're so glad you came, and find out who they are. Yeah, we don't want to give them the third degree, but like that was meaningful to me when I came into a church and someone took the time to stop and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, what is your name? And, you know, I'm so glad you're here, where are you from? I mean, it's just simple. But we almost have this like social retardation right now. Like, it's like, ooh, there's someone next to me. You know, please don't make me talk to them. Especially don't make me shake their hand. I mean, it's like, we can't be like that. And I feel this call for the Lord is saying, he said it through the writer of Hebrews, as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day when the Lord is about to return, which we see the world is in absolute turmoil. We see prophetic things being, fulfilled daily. And he said, as you see that day approaching, even more so, reach out and encourage one another to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And for me, I feel that mandate because even if I wasn't pastoring a church, I would be in church. Christina knows this. Like going and being part of the family of God was not optional for my family. And it was hard. And as you know, you now have three children. To get them all dressed and for everybody to get to church without somebody having a meltdown, yeah, was like, I had to repent before I walked in the church doors. As I had a murderous spirit, but I was like, where in the house of God? And your hair is combed. And you will sit there with a good attitude. Because God says, do not spare the rod. You'll spoil the child. You're going to get a whooping if you don't straighten up. But I mean, we got to church. Yeah? And I wasn't harsh about it, but we believed in whooping kids back then. You know, like the back of the hand, like, you know, you're getting in that. But today, it's like the slightest little thing, and a child, you know, having a fit, it's like, oh, we're not going to go today. We can't let them win, right? We cannot let them win. Come on, you guys, let's gang up on them. We are going to obey the Lord. Otherwise, your kids are going to have brain damage. You need to get them to church. You can laugh at that one. You need to get them to church. They need connection. They need to be in children's ministries where there are loving, workers that are going to love them. And they come in to the worship service. And many churches, they don't. They shove the kids all off in a room and they just do babysitting. And here, we want them to know the presence of God. We want them to know who their leaders are. Do you know why most children leave church when they get into their teens? They don't even know their pastor's name. You know, the pastor has a posse and they walk down the aisle like, you know, like King Tut, and they sit on the platform in their Pharisee chairs up here and their thrones. And, you know, we're the untouchables, and children especially can't come in the sanctuary. Not in this house. We are not some kind of weird organization. We are the family of God. And in my house, the children get to come to the table. They get to hear the adults talk. Amen. They get to have conversations. In my house, I wasn't like, the adults are talking, get out of here. In my house, I have to stop them from doing a racetrack around the house, and cars are going through the house and all that. But any child can walk up and talk to any adult as long as they do not interrupt a conversation. But we want them to sit and talk with us. I think it's great. Sometimes I'll see my grandkids and they're sitting with two or three adults and they're telling their little stories and all their big stuff, and everybody's all into it, right? But we want that in this house. I want my children to know that, you know, that's Trevor and Becca, and I want them to know that's Miss Janet. I want Boston to know, oh, that's Pastor Verna, and that's Pastor Simone, and I can go up to them and give them a hug, and Boston, you know, whack them on the, no, it was, who's the other little boy? Kat and Travis's little boy, Peyton, yeah, he come up and he thought he was so comfortable with me, he came up and just, and I was like, okay, let's talk about that. you thought I needed it or something, but you know, I think it's great. I think it's great. Anyways, you better get some scripture. You'll think I'm a heretic. You won't, but let's look at some scripture very quickly. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 says this. Just as in his love, that's the Father's love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world. You know, if you ever feel like you don't belong, you need to just throw that one up in the devil's face. Because there's so many people that come into these so-called churches and they don't feel chosen. They don't feel picked. You know, they don't feel noticed. They don't feel loved. They feel very invisible. And I want you to know that God chose you. He picked you. And when you get in the right family, you're gonna get around people that love you and will make you feel like you belong. And it says so that we would be holy. So he chose us so that we would be holy. That is consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight. And none of us can do that. None of us can do that without the working of the Holy Spirit through a relationship with Christ. And the Lord did all those things for us. He set us apart. He consecrated us. He gave us purpose. He sees us as blameless in his sight. Yes? And we need to see that. And then it says, in love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ. He planned. And I love how Paul said, in love, he planned. Yeah. I don't know about you, but when someone's going to come stay with me, I go out and I buy them their favorite food. How many of you ever host? I find out what they want. You know, I figure out which room is going to be the best for them. I plan for them because I'm bringing them in to my home. Yeah. And if I was adopting a child, I would do everything I could to create a room for that child to feel loved, right? If it's a boy, I'm going to get them good boy stuff. If it's a girl, I'm going to get them good girl stuff. Because I'm adopting them. They're going to take my name. They're going to be my child. And there is no thinking, well, I didn't birth them or whatever. No, they're yours. They're yours. You planned. You got the room ready, right? And the worst thing in the world is for that child to start to grow up in that house after you planned and you made space for them. And you shared with all your friends, I'm getting my baby, I'm getting my child. The worst thing in the world is for that child to grow up in that house and not have other people that come to visit in that house and are also members of that house look at them and know them and spend time with them. Yeah? We are better than me. I want you to know that we are better than just me. You got to get a mentality. A lot of the church today has a consumer mentality. They come in at what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Me, my, me. I can't do this all by myself. I need brothers and sisters, cousins, Sean. Huh? I need aunties. And uncles, spiritual aunties and uncles and moms that will help build the health and the circuitry of the children, the spiritual children and the family that's in this house. One of the most beautiful things for me is seeing my grandchildren at work. And everyone in this house talks to all my grandchildren. They hold on my grandchildren. Grayson, look at him. He's passed out like a light in Rosie's arms. Rosie gives the best hugs in the world. I mean, go get one from her, right? But it's amazing. I see all of you looking at them, at him, talking to him, to Kinsley and all the children in this house. Everyone knows their names. There's not an unknown child in this house, and not for long. You may come on a Sunday and not know one, but after what, every one of them are known because we've put an emphasis on that. But we're raising them to get along, to know one another, to respect one another. Yes? To know their church family, to know their church friends. And to live with a we mentality and not just a me mentality. God has predestined for all of us to be part of his family. And as his family, he wants every single one of us to contribute to the health of his family. Yes? So we have to be relational. We cannot live as an island to ourselves because we possess the power of the Spirit. We possess that, what I was talking about earlier, that invisible power of the other person, the mark in someone else's life. We possess that for our children. We possess that for our friends. We possess that for our families. And if we are going to be healthy as families, we cannot cut ourselves off from that source of power because we need that. Amen? You guys, I was looking at Miss Ann today. Here she is in the house of the Lord. Pastor Glenn is healing. I called over there, and I'm sorry it took me a couple days to get to that. And, by the way, Tom and Don, I'm sorry I didn't reach out yesterday because I had a family reunion, and I was literally at two events all day long, she knows, until I hit the bed last night. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that we have here that invisible attribute, which is the love, the connection. And we want to continue to foster that. Research, as I wrap this up, has shown that people who tap into the power of the other have these things. They have stronger immune systems. They tend to get sick less frequently. They recover faster when they do. And so Pastor Glenn's recovery is going to be directly linked right now to others calling, reaching out, seeing how they're doing. Maybe even FaceTime him, which I plan to do this week. You can tell him I want him to see my face. But, you know, we need it. We need that. Number four, it's been proven that even if you eat, here's something, because we're going to eat today. I don't know if it's going to be super healthy, but we're going to eat, okay? If you eat an unhealthy diet, and this is not, please do not go eat an unhealthy diet on a regular basis. But if you eat an unhealthy diet but are part of a close-knit community, you will live longer than if you are emotionally isolated and eat only healthy foods. So you could be alone eating green. I say amen to that. But you could be eating clean and living alone and die sooner than someone who eats a little worse and is in a tight-knit community. That's scientifically proven. So the bottom line is we need each other. Relationships affect life and performance, period. So we're stronger, we're better, and we're more when we are together and for each other, and we need each other. And I want some questions right before I get to this last scripture. Who are you there for? Who is there for you? I'm rattling these off. What are you doing to foster community for yourself? You know, it's called the power of imitation. One of the things I love about John and Betsy is they just reach out and go, hey, would you like to come over for dinner? They feed so many people. And I love Betsy's story. She was like, that wasn't necessarily my gift. Because sometimes we think we need to have the gift of hospitality. But you don't need the gift of hospitality. You can order food and just invite someone over to eat your ordered food. Right? I did that last night, honey. I'm like, did two parties. I said, La Mornita, help. You know, and it was great. I mean, I didn't have to cook. One of the things as I'm getting older, I love, like, actually spending time with my guests. I mean, I still love to throw the party, get the house all decorated, and then I was doing all the cooking, and I was busy the whole time, like, buzzing around. Everybody else was having fun, but I wasn't.
Martha. Martha.
I was totally a Martha. And now I let La Marnita be Martha. Yeah? It's great. And I just come home and open all these pretty little trays, and I'm like, there you go. You can eat on plastic plates, and I'm going to sit here and talk to people, right? But fostering community for yourself, many times we come in and we go, I need my church to provide community, which we're doing, right? This is a family. We're hospitable. But what are you doing? What are you doing? When's the last time you just said, hey, you want to get together for coffee? You know? Buy a scone and split the scone with somebody, right? If they don't like a scone, don't buy them a scone. Buy him an egg white bite. Yeah? Mama Titi went like that. Do something for Christ's sake, okay? For his sake. There are people who accomplish a lot in life, and those who accomplish the most and overcome the most challenges are those who had someone on the other end making it possible with their encouragement, yeah? And I really want to see people be competent. I want them to thrive. I don't want to see anyone in my family experience failure to thrive. I don't want to see this family experience failure to thrive, and I don't believe we will. But I believe it's our season to begin to thrive and flourish even more. I love the worship this morning. Things that look dead are coming back to life. I mean, the enemy has done everything he could to kill our spirit, to knock us out. And what I see here is I still see people that are like corner four people. We're like, yeah, you've been down on the mat, but you didn't tap out. You got to two, right? But I'm down here with you, and I'm looking at you right in the corner going, get up. You still got another swing in you. Come on, get up. There's people that God has destined right now to be in your life, and they need you. And as I finish today, I want to finish on Psalm 1. This is David, King David, and I think he knew a thing or two after leading a kingdom that he had been called to against familial opposition. Let's just say that. You know what that means? Cray-cray people in your family. Don't look at your family if you're sitting next to him. Just look straight here, right? Keep it right here, okay? Because there's times when what you're experiencing in your natural family is so painful that you will separate yourself from your church family. And I want you to know that family is not always blood. Like my dad always said, the family you create is more important than the one you came from. And I'm not dissing the one you came from, but what I'm saying is God put a family together. I showed that to you in the Word. He predestined you to be part of his family. And there's more going on than just your bloodline. We're now in a new bloodline, amen? We're in the family of God through the blood of Jesus. And David wrote this. He said, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God, and I like this. And he says you're blessed, which is the positive, and then he uses the negative. These are the do nots. The one that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit. So you're not, sometimes you just can't walk with people. Yeah. Sometimes you can't stand them. No, I'm kidding. You can't stand in their presence. Sorry, I'm there. Nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, of ridiculers. It's very painful to be around people that ridicule your faith. We should still, you know, demonstrate love toward them, but we need to get together, identify who those people are that have the marked spirit in your life. Because there's some people that are like, you're serving God, I'm out of here, bye. And they walk off, you know, they go get theirs. Yeah? But then you know, there's people that God has ordained for you that go, hey, you're struggling, I'm not gonna leave you, or I'm not gonna walk away, yeah? You just gotta know where to sit, you gotta know where to stand, and you gotta know where to walk. And the Lord says you're blessed, you're favored, you're prospered. If you get around people whose delight, and I'm finishing this, his delight, your delight is in the law of the Lord. You get around people that delight in the Word of God, you know, like you do, it's gonna strengthen you. It's gonna save you from brain damage. Get around people that are gonna meditate in the Word. David's saying, like, you know, there's a certain crowd, there's a certain group of people you need to be around. And he says, and if you do this, you'll be like a tree firmly planted, fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Your leaf doesn't wither. And in whatever you do, you will prosper and come to maturity. And I'm just going to leave it right there. Come to maturity. I know I wasn't mature when we first started. I wasn't mature for a long time. Sometimes I still wonder if I'm grown up. I'd say when I grow up, I want to be like Mama Didi. I'm 60 now and I'm still trying to grow up, yeah? But there's a maturity that happens in your life when you identify your tribe and you get in there, and the enemy's gonna try to do everything he can to separate you, to cut you off, to pull you away, to get you stuck out in isolation, to give up. And like I said, there is no perfect family. There's people in all kinds of different stages of their process. But when I look at that world out there, and I look at what's going on, I'd rather be in here with all of you, walking, sitting, standing, eating, laughing, crying, than anywhere else in the world. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up to your feet. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for becoming the sacrificial lamb so that we could come into the position that the Father already prepared for us, which is your children. I pray if there's anyone today that has never received you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, they would do so right now. The Bible says if you receive him by faith as your Savior, believe that he died to pay the penalty for your sins. If you believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. And so I never want to end a service without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Every person in this room, you may have done that. That's fine. We never know who's watching in the archives. We never know who's tuning in to a service. And I really believe if you watch this sermon today that God ordained you to be here where you are. And you need to be connected into his family. He's planned for you. And I want to give you that opportunity right now through prayer. If you would just repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I believe what you did on the cross was to pay my debt of sin, and I thank you for it. I turn away from my own works and sin, and I turn to you as my Savior. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Get plugged into a good Bible-believing local church. Get involved and let us know, too. We will pray over you so you can grow in your faith and help you in any way we can. We love you guys. If you need prayer, the team's going to be here.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.